This is Jay Sekulow. More anti-Semitism out of Congresswoman Tlaib.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
There's a kind of a calming feeling I always tell folks when I think of the Holocaust and the tragedy of the Holocaust and the fact that it was my ancestors, Palestinians, who lost their land and some lost their lives, their livelihood, the human dignity, their existence in many ways have been wiped out on some people's passport. I mean, just all of it was in the name of trying to create a safe haven for Jews post the Holocaust, post the tragedy and horrific persecution of Jews across the world at that time.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
I love the fact that it was my ancestors that provided that, right, in many ways. But they did it in a way that took their human dignity away, right? And it was forced on them.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the broadcast. We're taking your calls, 800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. So Representative Tlaib says she's it's calming to her when she thinks about the Holocaust because of what her ancestors did in welcoming Jews. Let me show you what her ancestors did. Now, for our television audience, you're going to see this. For our radio audience, I'm going to describe it to you. Up on the screen right now is a picture of her relatives, in the sense that the relative being the Palestinian Grand Mufti from Jerusalem meeting with Adolf Hitler. That's what her relatives did. If she wants to look at her global relatives and using it in the sense that she used it. Now, I want that picture to sit up there, and I want you to look at it for a few minutes, because that's what her relatives did. So this idea that she's created this false narrative now, first of all, saying the word calming and the Holocaust is not a good thing to be doing. And is Nancy Pelosi going to let this go again? I mean, is that what this is going to be again? There's going to be no repercussions for this again? I'm going to play for you the entire bite of what she said. I want you to listen to every single word.
So what is your vision for a one-state solution that meets both Palestinian and Israeli or Jewish national aspirations?
Absolutely. And let me tell you, I mean, for me, just a few, I think 2 weeks ago or so, we celebrated, or just it took a moment, I think, in our country to remember the Holocaust. And there's, you know, there's a kind of a calming feeling I always tell folks when I think of the Holocaust and the tragedy of the Holocaust and the fact that it was my ancestors, Palestinians, who lost their land and some lost their lives, their livelihood, the human dignity, their existence in many ways have been wiped out on some people's passport. I mean, just all of it was in the name of trying to create a safe haven for Jews post the Holocaust, post the tragedy and horrific persecution of Jews across the world at that time.
Okay, so there you have it. I mean, her own language speaks for itself. Will the Democratic leadership come out and condemn it? Will my friends on the Democratic Party that are Jewish say this is obnoxious, this is disgusting, this is anti-Semitism? She caught herself about three quarters of the way through and tried to kind of change the tone. But the reality was, I'm just going to play you the words, because the words speak for themselves, but so does this picture. So for the second time in 4 minutes, I'm sticking this picture up on the air for our television audience. And for our audience that's viewing this on radio, it is a picture of the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem with Adolf Hitler. That's what your relatives were doing, Jordan.
Well, and so her response, of course, is that this is twisting and turning words. We just played it for you in full. The Israeli ambassador has called out the congressman. See, this would not, you, if you were a normal junior congresswoman, you don't get this kind of attention. But the Democrat leadership has allowed, because they put them forward on covers of magazines, that the first two Muslim elected women to Congress have become anti-Semitic, kind of the talking points of the radical Islamist groups. Even her statement, I will say, if you actually look at how she responded, all of you who are trying to silence me will fail miserably. I mean, just imagine what that sounds like. She put that in words. All of you who try to silence me will fail miserably.
Yeah. This is the... Is this the new wave of the Democratic Party? I don't know. We'll take your calls. 1-800-684-3110. You know what I want to tell you to do? Stand with Israel. Stand with the Jewish people. Look, we've been very aggressive on this front, as you know, at the United Nations, in federal court, in our office in Jerusalem. We are not backing down. By the way, Representative Omar talks about the status quo of occupation in Gaza. Who's occupying Gaza? Hamas. Read history. Back with more, including your calls, in a moment.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
The beginning bite again of Representative Tlaib. You're talking about anti-Semitism at its core. Take a listen to this.
So what is your vision for a one-state solution that meets both Palestinian and Israeli or Jewish national aspirations?
Absolutely. And let me tell you, I mean, for me, just a few, I think 2 weeks ago or so, we celebrated, or just it took a moment, I think, in our country to remember the Holocaust. And there's, you know, there's a kind of a calming feeling I always tell folks. When I think of the Holocaust and the tragedy of the Holocaust and the fact that it was my ancestor.
Can we just stop right there? Harry Hutchinson, your director of our policy here at the ACLJ. The idea that you would put the word calming influence, a calming impact of the Holocaust. I mean, that tells you a lot right there.
Absolutely, it does. And it tells me that she fails to truly understand history. So her comments, in my judgment, are nonsense on stilts for a number of reasons. First, there was no real Palestinians because the Middle East area now called the modern state of Israel.
Right.
And Palestine was called a British mandate for Palestine, which included both Arabs and Jews. Second, there's little evidence that the Arabs created a safe haven for the Jews. Huh. Instead, there's much evidence that some Arabs entered into a coalition, if you will, with the Nazis to destroy Jews. Third, on the day that Israel declared its independence, the Arab population welcomed the Jews with bombs, bullets, and rocket fire.
Yeah, well, let me put up this picture again of representatives talking about how proud she is of some of her ancestors. Well, here's one of them. And this is a picture right now of the Grand Mufti in Jerusalem with Adolf Hitler. In that meeting with Hitler, the Grand Mufti said the Arabs were Germany's natural friends because they had the same enemies as Germany, namely the English, the Jews, and the communists. Let me read that to you again. This is a picture right now for our radio audience of the Grand Mufti in that Palestinian mandate, controlled by Britain at that time, with Adolf Hitler. He traveled to Germany, is my understanding, if I remember that, but I know the picture, and I believe he traveled to Germany. In that meeting with Hitler, the Grand Mufti said that the Arabs were Germany's natural friends because they had the same enemies as had Germany, namely the English, the Jews, and the communists. Andy?
Well, this tells you exactly all you need to know. You're my friend because we have common enemies and common people that we want to do things bad to, such as eradicate them, which is what the Nazi plan was with respect to the Jews. So I can tell you, Hitler did not travel to the Middle East. He never left. He stayed And the only time he went out, I think, was once. He went to Paris to see it on one occasion, and then he went back. So the Grand Mufti, which was the chief priest, scribe, whatever, right, of the Muslims, is sitting there with Hitler negotiating how they're going to eradicate their enemies, the communists, the English, and the Jews. And that's something that Congresswoman Tlaib obviously has never read or doesn't know anything about. She's an ignorant person, either intentionally making herself ignorant by not reading or not wanting to know the reality and the truth by mouthing these statements.
Wes?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, Andy. I don't think she's ignorant of it. I think she knows.
Yes.
And I think she's very clever. And occasionally she missteps by stating, as I mentioned during the break, this Kinsey gaffe, when a person says what they really believe and they get caught in it, and then they have to sort of tap dance around it and explain it. The other thing that strikes me about Congressman Tlaib and Congressman Omar and others is that whenever they are confronted, as she's being confronted today, then they accuse the people that confront her of Islamophobia, of trying to silence them. They try to turn it so that they become the victims, right, instead of the people that they have attacked, which are the true victims.
So Christine on Facebook said this, Jordan. She said the Holocaust gave her a calming feeling. How has she not apologized? Because she doesn't politically have to?
I think politically she was walking into two minefields. The first was being offensive to the greater public of the United States. So she realized, I think, the celebrated, she kind of, I think the whole rest of the comment is trying to figure out, what do I do now? But she also cannot get away from her core base, the people who back her. That is the far left mixed with the Palestinian and the Muslim community. I mean, that's nowhere else in America. You look at these congressional districts, like Ilhan Omar in Minnesota, where she gets elected, Rashida Tlaib, where she gets elected in Michigan. These are communities, and if you're not from these or you haven't seen them before, it could sound a little bit. It's pretty unique to these communities, not unique to anywhere else in the country, really, where these are kind of dominant factors. They may not even be the majority, but it's enough for the congressional election to be the biggest deciding factor as a vote. And she said, I think she's walking back for them. So she immediately pivots to Palestinians. I don't think, and how bad it was for the Palestinians. So I think she was also speaking to her base through this comment by saying, I'm not really going to say we remember what happened to the Jews and it was horrible and end it there. I'm going to pivot to.
But she said celebrate.
Then they came
first
and got. Then they got our land. Then they took our land. So I feel fine with what happened to them because look what happened to us. And she's speaking to her audience with this comment because I think she realized she may have gone too far for them.
Yeah, because she starts the first point where she says celebrate first.
Yeah.
Which is I.
But even acknowledging it as like happened. Remember, there's a lot of people in that community who say, "Well, didn't really happen to Jews."
Well, look, we have, and I said this during the break to Andy, and Andy can reinforce it. Andy and I have conducted, I mean, at the highest levels of government in the Middle East. I mean, at the highest level, including the then prime minister, and individuals that were the deputy foreign minister for the state of Israel, the religious leadership in the area, both Jewish, Christian, and Muslim. I mean, we have done high-stakes, high-level negotiations, trilateral, multilateral negotiations in the Middle East. I mean, we know that area as well as anybody. She is rewriting history. That's what this is. She is rewriting history, Andy, and you are a student of history. And when you rewrite history to your own advantage, you are trying to ignore the reality of what actually happened.
Well, that's exactly what she's trying to do. I think I agree with Jordan. She started saying something that was really what her true feelings were. And I think they do come from a combination of intent, not knowledge of exactly what she wants to say, and ignorance in the sense that she hadn't read a history book in her life. It's obvious. But she starts out saying this, and then she says, oh, my God, what am I saying? What have I said here?
That's what.
Yes. Well, I mean, what first comes out is what you first believe, obviously. And that comes out, and then she tries to walk it back, and she makes these ridiculous. They've been wiped out. And then she says, what else has been wiped out? Their dignity, and some people's passports. What does that mean? Some people's passports? Whose passports were wiped out in this thing? What was happening here is that the Jews were wiped out And that is the reality of what happened. And you don't have a calming feeling over that. You have a feeling of disgust. You have a feeling of decadence on the part of the Nazi regime and the muftis and all those who collaborated with them. You don't celebrate this. It is a horrific event, and anything that she says to the contrary notwithstanding.
Where is the Jewish leadership in the Democratic Party going to say what this woman is saying is not only wrong and anti-Semitic, but very, very dangerous? Let's go ahead and take a phone call.
Hey, let's go to Don in Nevada on line 5. Don, welcome to JSEC Hill Live.
Hi, Don.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I was just wondering, could you please explain the geographic and economic and social history of Palestine? I mean, I've heard some people say that Palestine is not and never been a country, so I'm just kind of confused as
well,
to what that people do.
Okay, very, very good question, Dawn. And there is no country of Palestine. It was a British mandate. I wrote a whole book about it called Jerusalem. And in fact, I'm going to send you a copy. So when you hang on the line, we're going to send you a copy of the book. And it was a British mandate, and it was for both, there was a Jewish population and an Arab population. Then, after the Holocaust and the creation of the State of Israel, it became a Jewish state, but there was a recognized, as part of the mandates, there was a recognized minority religious right. For instance, Arabs in Israel can vote. There are Arabs in the Knesset. So this is what they ignore. There is no Palestinian state. Now, there's this talk of a two-state solution. In other words, recognizing a Palestinian state alongside of Israel with security and borders. And I think that plan is going to roll out from the president in the next probably, you know, couple of months. And I think there's a real chance of getting it now because I think the Palestinian people know that they have been hoodwinked by their leadership. That's what this is at the end of the day. But there is no state of Palestine. And we have fought that issue, by the way, at the International Criminal Court in The Hague. Jordan and I were there for that. So you have to beat this back legally. And that's what I want to say here at the end of this segment. We beat it back legally. You beat it back, and that means in international tribunals. So with the International Criminal Court in The Hague, we were successful and won. You have to beat it back in international tribunals like the United Nations, where we have appeared before events at the UN, including General Assembly meeting, on the issue of anti-Semitism and the rise of anti-Semitism. And it is reaching unbelievable proportions right now. There needs to be, and we are doing it. We're fighting it in court as well in the District Court in the District of Columbia. You got to fight on these issues. It's that serious.
All right, we're taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on air. 1-800-684-3110. Nancy on Facebook wrote in,
yeah,
if Pelosi
question.
And other leaders won't condemn this language, they're essentially complicit in this anti-Semitic rhetoric. I think they already have been. They've already let this narrative take over their party, and they've let two freshman congresswomen, Tlaib and Omar, do that. You know, most people don't even know the their congressman, their elected official, but these two they've put forward. So it's obviously touching a nerve with it. We'll be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
Nancy on Facebook wrote in a good question. If Pelosi and other leaders won't condemn the language, they are essentially complicit in this anti-Semitic rhetoric. But Harry, as you just said during the break, so far they have not said anything. Do we have any statements yet, Will? I'm asking our producer. Nothing yet on this. Now, there was a Democratic, to be fair, there was a Democratic congressman on Fox News that said this has to be addressed, or words to that effect. But there, you would think the leadership at this point, Harry, would come out and say, this is wrong.
You would think so if the leadership was rational. But the leadership is paralyzed.
Are they afraid of them?
Absolutely, because they will then be labeled, the House leadership will be labeled racist or supporting racist behavior. So instead of criticizing Representative Tlaib, they are prepared to go on radio or television and make the following claim: that the press and the Republicans have mischaracterized the comments that were made. Average, everyday Americans can fully understand the comments that were made. Those comments are indeed offensive. And Nancy Pelosi, Steny Hoyer, and the other members of the House Democratic leadership refuse to condemn those comments. But as I suggested earlier, this will mean that many House Democrats who were elected in middle-of-the-road districts in 2018 will pay a price in 2020. They deserve to pay a price.
I'm going to read the line-by-line breakdown of this because it is, when you read it, it is really offensive. 2 weeks ago or so, we celebrated, or just took a moment, I think, in our country to remember the Holocaust. Andy? The word Holocaust and celebrated should not be in the same sentence.
No, of course not. I mean, you don't celebrate. You know, Holocaust is from a Greek word, holokaftoma, which means an entire burning. But, you know, this was part of the ancient rite of the temple when they would give whole burnt offerings. So it is a Greek word. So I can tell you that celebration of a Holocaust, as that word has come to mean today, don't go together. You decry it. You condemn it. It is a despicable event. It is the killing of humanity. That's what it has come to mean. You don't celebrate it, Jay.
All right. The next sentence says this. And there's a kind of a calming feeling. I always tell folks when I think of the Holocaust and the tragedy of the Holocaust, again, her choice of words are horrible. And then she tries to kind of salvage it. And the fact that my ancestor, Palestinians who lost their land and some of their lives, their livelihood, human dignity, and their existence in many ways, have been wiped out, some people's passports. And then she goes on to this, you know, that her family, it was her ancestors and relatives that welcomed people in, to which I want to show again this picture, which will be the third time I've shown it. Here it is. This is the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem meeting with Adolf Hitler, saying that the Germans and the Arab peoples at that time had the same enemy. And the same enemy were the English, the Americans, the communists, and the Jews. Jordan?
Well, I think, and I do think that this comment, where she, it could sound like a salvaging, it can also be a quick acknowledgement to her own base of, because she didn't just leave it there. It wasn't like just bad history. She doubled down on, she took this question and then turned to how bad it was for Palestinian Arabs. The truth is, you could say Palestinian Arabs, Palestinian Jews. At that time period,
right.
You could use that term to describe it's like people from a region. So she is focusing on Palestinian Arabs, and I don't think because the truth is they would not have made the first sentence. She knows that her own base would not have made ever that first statement of even acknowledging a Holocaust that was bad or not. But they always, if they do, it's always couched in, but see how horrible it's been for us. Now, look at a map of the Middle East. Many places to go if you're a Muslim. Many places. I mean, you can like pick which kind of Islam you'd like and which style of architecture you want and what kind of food. I mean, seriously, you could pick all of the different. You could pick. There's two different main versions of Islam. There's really three competing if you add when what Syria's present, which is kind of a mixture. And other faiths that have never been targeted as much as Jews, and then by extension Christians, because that's part of the Abrahamic faith.
Right.
And so because of that, even some of these smaller offshoots of Christianity, any of that gets targeted as well. So first it was we kicked the Jews out of our country, and they did. I mean, these
all
countries,
the surrounding Arab countries.
All, these countries all had
large Jewish populations.
Yeah, and there wasn't
Iran,
necessarily
Iraq.
A need for Israel's, quote unquote, even in that region, because right. there were places to live and things were okay.
Egypt
and
had a big Jewish population.
Those governments decided to politically align themselves with the Nazis. And then they aligned themselves with the communists.
And then the spiritual leaders did the same thing with the Mufti.
Yeah, so the governments, and at that time, I mean, the governments became, there was also between 1940s, so post-World War II to 1960s, the governments became the religion in that region. They took over. And they decided to align themselves with, you know, a post-World War II Soviet Union. And that again, so they've constantly aligned themselves with the falling governments, the Ottoman Empire,
right.
the Soviet Union. You know, so you've got, again, and I think today, and then they tried to form their own group. So there's three wars. There was a 1948 war for independence in Israel. Who do you think they were fighting? A 1967 war and a 1973 war. Three major wars in the first 25 years of your existence, all fighting with the Arabs. So, I mean, most of them wouldn't make the initial comment, and I think that's why she goes on to even say the passports.
Right.
Because that is what it's – that is a – and human dignity. So it's equating.
Yeah.
And I think that, again, you look at – just look at numbers even. Look at conflicts of war. You never see these kind of mass numbers right. before ever and probably ever again.
Yep. Wes?
Yeah, what has not changed since the Grand Mufti met with Adolf Hitler is a deep-seated anti-Semitism that now has evolved to calls for these same populations in the area and some people in the United States, calls for the total destruction of Israel. For the last 2 months, this congresswoman and Congressman Omar have spent the last 2 months raising money for CARE. The Council on American Islamic Relations, which is an unindicted co-conspirator in the Holy Land Foundation trial, because they are funneling money to Hamas and Hezbollah,
yep.
two groups which call for the extermination of Jews, the destruction of the nation of Israel. I don't see how she can justify doing fundraisers, and of course both yep. of them got caught saying anti-Semitic remarks at some of these fundraisers, raising money for a group that this same group, the CARE, an American organization, is considered a terrorist organization by the United Arab Emirates and some of the other Gulf nation countries. They recognize what this organization is about, even though in America we have not designated them for such. And these two women represent that group.
I'm going to play some, we're going to get into some of this in the second half hour, but Representative Omar said, how many more protesters must be shot, rockets must be fired, and little kids must be killed until the endless cycle of violence ends? She's talking about what happened in Gaza. Who was shooting the rockets? Who came out of Gaza? Occupation. Israel is not occupying Gaza. It's occupied by Hamas. The status quo of occupation and humanitarian crisis in Gaza is unsustainable. There's humanitarian crisis in Gaza because of the Hamas leadership. You just got to call this out. You cannot let this stuff go, folks. This is very, very important. All right, we're taking a break. We come back, we'll take your calls.
Yeah, 1-800-684-3110. And the bigger issue here is that Democrats are allowing individuals like this to speak on behalf of their party. And, you know, most freshman congressmen, again, don't get a platform. And no one's paying attention to. But if you get to be one of the ones who is, you have a special responsibility. And she has failed.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
All right, we're talking about the situation with, again, with Representative Tlaib. Listen, anytime there's a major flare-up of anti-Semitism, you're going to hear about it right here. We've been fighting this for a long, long time. We have an office in Jerusalem. I want to set the stage for you this. We have an office in Jerusalem. We have an office in Strasbourg, France. We have appeared before the United Nations on the issue of anti-Semitism. We are in federal court in Washington, D.C. on an issue what I consider the fundamental anti-Semitism. In fact, Andy Economo, that case in Washington, D.C., is trying to relitigate the right of Israel to exist as a Jewish state.
Yes, and I hope we will ultimately be successful, but this is what Congresswoman Tlaib was really after. She does not recognize the right of Israel to remain and to be a sovereign, independent, and protected nation. So what she does is she couches her words in anti-Israeli, anti-Jewish sentiment, okay? And she is really saying what she really feels when she says the Holocaust gives her a kind of a calming feeling. It gives me a kind of a disgusting feeling. And how she can make that statement in the same sentence and then try to recast it and say, well, what I really meant is that the Palestinians were creating a safe haven for Israel. I don't see that to be the case historically. It's not a safe haven at all. If anything ever happened, God forbid, and the Palestinians were to take over from the Israeli lands, the real sufferers, you know who's going to be the sufferers in addition to the Jewish population? Is the Christian population is really going to be the sufferers, because those holy Christian sites are going to be demolished by the Muslims. Because I have spoken with the Patriarch of Jerusalem, the Greek Orthodox Patriarch, and he says, the sovereign here must remain Israel, because if he doesn't, there won't be a holy sepulcher. So the Christians need to wake up to that reality too.
All right, so the reaction on, let's play Tlaib's site. We've got new people joining us. Let's play what she said. Here it is.
2 weeks ago or so, we celebrated, or just it took a moment, I think, in our country to remember the Holocaust. And there's, you know, there's a kind of a calming feeling I always tell folks. When I think of the Holocaust and the tragedy of the Holocaust and the fact that it was my ancestors, Palestinians, who lost their land and some lost their lives.
Let me tell you what your ancestors were doing, okay? Representative Tlaib, take a look at this picture. Here's the evidence. I like showing evidence. Take a look at this picture. This is a picture of the Grand Mufti, your relatives in the generic sense, meeting with Adolf Hitler, saying that we had the same enemies, the Jews, the British, the Americans, and the communists. Those were the same. And so the Grand Mufti's meeting with Adolf Hitler. So look at this response. You're starting to see Israeli writers... Jewish leadership, especially within the writing, the groups of authors saying, hey, Representative Tlaib, I'm humbled that my ancestors provided free land and property for Arab Middle Eastern countries after we were violently forced out of our own lands. I mean, this is true. That's the history that they're trying to rewrite here, Wes.
Yeah, they really are. And think about this whole two-state solution that we mentioned a little bit ago. Every time Israel has tried to adopt that, every time they give up land, and even Prime Minister Netanyahu, early on in his administration years ago, gave up land, what happens? The Palestinians launch terrorist attacks against Israel from those same lands. You know, Israel protects the rights of all people who live there. Israel is the only country in the area who guarantees freedom of religion. And Andy's exactly right. If Israel were not, you know, the power there, there would not be freedom of religion. Christians and Jews would be attacked, and attempts would be to eliminate them totally.
Yeah, I think that the fact is she is speaking to a history that doesn't exist, also equating, if you line yourself up with the Nazis, does anyone here in the United States say, okay, those people who decided to align themselves with the Nazis, pity them? No. Do you say, you know, if you line yourself with the Soviet Union, pity them?
No. Nope.
We take them out. We're still taking them out. Look at Cuba. Look at Venezuela. I mean, we still are saying, if you align yourself with these kind of ideologies and anti-human rights and abusing your own people and these state institutions that you mass imprisonment, we will take you down.
But Andy, you don't think this is no slip of the tongue?
It was not a slip of the tongue. It was the reality of what she said came out first. And then the stark realization of what she said came out second, and she tried to walk it back, in my view, unsuccessfully.
We'll be back with more in just a moment. Take your calls, 800-684-3110.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
We're going to go to our phones as we're talking about this latest eruption of anti-Semitism. But, you know, I just asked this question of, and I'll ask everybody to comment on this. Start with Jordan. No reaction, right? As of we're on the air right now, at least, no reaction from the Democratic leadership. Where is Chuck Schumer? Where is Jerry Nadler? Where is Adam Schiff? Where are they?
The only person they put out is her fellow congressman from Michigan, Kildee, whose uncle was the congressman for 40 years, and then he became the congressman in 2012, and his family from Flint, Michigan, so pretty nearby, neighboring her congressional district. And he comes out. Take a listen. This is as far as the Democrats will go.
I'm going to have to talk to Rashida to have a better understanding of what she meant. I interpreted it mean a calming feeling that there was a haven for Jews fleeing the Holocaust that was Palestine, that was the place that now is the state of Israel. But again, everyone, whether it's Congresswoman Tlaib or those responding to her or the president, we all need to understand that words matter, and we have to be careful about how we say things because often they can become interpreted in a way that's very hurtful.
First of all, that is a nice try legally. I mean, but you talk about juxtapositions and oxymorons. Here's what she said. She finds it, you know, what was the word she used? Calming. That was one of the words that after she said celebrate. Not calming that the Jews had a place to go, because she then says we got kicked, her relatives got kicked out of their own land. I mean, this is
a tit for tat statement.
Exactly.
Really.
So,
I think that's what she's saying. I think she's saying it's like a tit for tat. It's like, well, this happened to them. This happened to us. You know, and both like
poetic justice.
Like,
I
do think that's what she's saying. It's like a well, that happened to them, but then look what happened to us. And the truth is, you look at the Muslim community in that region of the world. They're not going anywhere. You know, they're not
a lot of places for them to be.
Yeah, yes.
To live.
I mean, this is a tiny sliver.
Most important sliver in the world.
And but they've made it this politicized way. It used to be a city that everybody could visit, everybody could go to from different religious backgrounds. And instead, when you start firing hundreds of rockets in a week from the Gaza Strip, you know what we do as a world? We say, you're going to have a humanitarian crisis in your country. You're not going to be able to run your hospitals.
Right.
Your people are going to fall apart on your own. And at some point, they're going to have to decide. Do they buy into the ideology so they're going to die with this? Are they going to die with it? And if they are, we're going to make sure they will. I mean, that is what you do in wars.
So
this is a group who provokes the conflict. They are saying, come to us. Start the battle. Here we go. We're going to send over 700 rockets into your town and see what you do. And if the people in the region say, well, we'll keep supporting this. We're going to keep sending our sons, our daughters to support this. Then that's a war. That is a conflict. and in a conflict, you have to pick sides. That this community has chosen sides. It has decided, and world history has gotten to choose sides many times.
And they take the
and
same side every time.
Every time has been a losing yes. side. And I think that some of that is, again, you can go back a long time in history to the beginning of the history as we know it, let's put it that way. But I also think that with Rashida Tlaib and these individuals, they are putting a horrendous face on Islam. I mean, and Islam in America. And I think that was it just last week, too, the one Muslim cleric that they invited to Congress was also tied to really horrific yeah. anti-Semitic comments. So it's tough to find an Islamic leader who's not tied to the Muslim Brotherhood, who's not tied to, you know, CARE, who's not tied to all of these different bad actors, whether you are Jewish or not, if you're an American, are bad actors.
So
I mean, these are enemies of the United States, ultimately. We're the great Satan
right
now. It's not so much the Jews anymore. I think yeah. it's us. I think that we are actually their ultimate enemy. And this, we talked about creeping Sharia sometimes. This is part of it. People think that is a subterm of just, a scare tactic term. And
no, because there's no reaction to it
right.
from the leadership
if this is
of
acceptable,
the party where it's coming out of. So it becomes
normative.
If this
is acceptable,
normative.
then so, imagine what's happened on college campuses, so places where no one's getting recorded.
Right. So that's a whole different topic of problem. Ilhan Omar said this, the congresswoman, how many more protesters must be shot, rockets must be fired, and little kids must be killed until the endless cycle of violence ends? Well, who shot the rockets, Andy?
Hamas asked Hamas that question. She wants to know how many more protesters have got to be shot, rockets fired, and little kids killed. Ask Hamas. Wasn't it Ariel Sharon who moved Israel out of Gaza and
right.
said, you can take it, it's yours, it's all yours, have it, good luck to you, Sei gesund.
Right.
And what did they do? The Hamas terrorists took over the country and the Gaza Strip, an ancient strip. One of the great writers of Christianity, Dorotheus of Gaza, was from there. And now it is a wasteland. And every once in a while, the natives get restless and start doing what? Bombing Israel. And that's exactly what happened. So Omar, again, another foolish woman making a stupid remark.
This was a Palestinian opportunity, too, when they got the Gaza Strip, which borders the Mediterranean. So to have a port, to have access to the world.
Yeah, the port of Gaza is big.
And
yeah.
and instead, what do you do? Well, you elect a radical group. So what does the world do? They say, we're going to cut you off. And it's not just the Jews in Israel. It's also the Egyptians.
Right.
Who cut them off, who say, we're not going to let you use our border anymore because you're starting terrorist camps across and into our territory, into a no man's land. You know, what is a legal no man's land in the Sinai Peninsula? And and the Egyptian Arabs said, we're cutting you off, Gaza. The Lebanese don't want to deal with God. In fact, I mean, you got a whole Hezbollah problem there. And I think what happened is the world was focused on ISIS and a lot of the resources. There were, and the Sunni extremist groups, which are more linked to Hamas, were backed, were fighting with ISIS too. So you had the Al-Qaeda-linked Hamas kind of groups,
right.
Sunni groups, fighting with the ISIS groups. Now that's kind of stopped. All right, so that battle's over. That's gone to the hills in Afghanistan now. So where does it? What immediately begins? I mean, immediately starts is the Gaza conflict. It was pretty quiet for these last 8-9 years because of the disastrous of ISIS.
Well,
and I think that the world, the even the Islamic radicals' resources, that's what they're pouring into. Iran wasn't provoking nearly as much because they were sending their resources to Syria. The Lebanese and Hezbollah, you know, you didn't hear much from them. Suddenly now you're hearing all from them too about their rockets and all and their technology. They were all pouring in. Now that that conflict is dissipating, so it's not the kind of thousands of sending troops and resources. I think that this is now a new reality, which people kind of tend to forget, is that this is the reality for Israel dealing with these groups. And it's been just a quiet 8 years. But it's why Netanyahu gets reelected.
Exactly.
Why the young people in Israel tend to be more conservative.
More hawkish.
Yes, and because they're dealing with the realities of their where they live.
So she then said, this is Ilhan Omar, Andy, the status quo of occupation and humanitarian crisis in Gaza is unsustainable. The status quo of occupation? What occupation?
There is no occupation of Gaza. Israel has left Gaza. I mean, no one occupies it but Hamas terrorists, and she doesn't know what she's talking about. This is truly, when you take the word ignorant, a woman who doesn't know what she's talking about. She's making a stupid, foolish
but
remark.
Doing this on purpose. I mean, this is all being done on purpose.
It's done with design, Jay. Correct.
Only real justice, Wes, can bring about security and lasting peace.
Yeah. The humanitarian crisis is created by Hamas,
right,
and to a certain extent by the Palestinian Authority, which mismanages their funds and pays terrorists, you know, and their families. There is a real humanitarian crisis. It's not caused by Israel. There are children suffering because of Hamas. Hamas routinely puts their rocket launchers and their other weapons depots in kindergartens and schools and hospitals, daring Israel to attack, and Israel tries not to attack them. Whenever citizens in Gaza tried to resist Hamas, for example, there was one family that did not want them to put a rocket battery near their house. They jailed the father of the family. This is who is leading Hamas in the Gaza Strip, and these are the people that are creating the humanitarian crisis, not Israel.
Harry, so when they say only real justice, when she says only real justice can bring about security and lasting peace, what does she mean?
Well,
the elimination of the Jewish state?
Absolutely. So it's a sophisticated way of saying, let's destroy Israel as a nation state. And you should also look at this particular issue in context, in the context, for instance, of the BDS movement, which is a sophisticated attempt to destroy the nation state of Israel. But it's also important to keep in mind that the attacks on Israel by Representative Tlaib and Representative Omar are simply attempts to distract attention from the despotic misrule of Arab leaders in the Palestinian Authority and in Gaza, who profit from endless conflict while the Palestinian people pay the price. So there is clearly an humanitarian crisis in Palestine, but it is one that is made by the leadership of the Palestinian people. So what you really need is the removal of the Palestinian Authority and the removal of Hamas in Gaza in order for the people of those two areas to be made free and to move forward economically and on a humanitarian basis.
We know this region, folks. We've got an office in Jerusalem. As I said, we've been at the UN. We are in U.S. District Court in Washington, D.C., fighting this out right now. We are at the halls of Congress. But where is the leadership of the Democratic Party? Why are you tolerating this? What is in it? Are you that afraid of that part of the base that you're going to allow this to go on? Just say it's wrong. She's not going to come out and say it's wrong. You could say it's wrong. All right, we're going to take your calls when we come back from the break. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We'll be back with your calls and comments. You can get those in on Facebook and Periscope as well, by the way. We'll see you in just a moment.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Taking your calls. Last segment, so we take all of your questions. Let's go right to the phones, Jordan.
Yeah, let's go to Cynthia in California on line one. Cynthia, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Well, thank you for taking my call. I have a question. And first of all, I have Jewish family members. Is the Jewish community coming together to make an outcry against these anti-Semitic leaders, or are the Jewish Americans depending on your organization to speak out on their behalf?
Well, look, the Anti-Defamation League and others have come out, Zionist Organization of America, they come out condemning this. There's no question about that. Here's the problem. The Democratic leadership right now is afraid to. I mean, I think that's a fair statement. Now, let me tell you about the ACLJ. We're not afraid to. We are calling it exactly as we see it. And as I said, we're not just talking about it on radio, though I'm very glad we're able to talk to people about this because it's a huge issue. But also, it's a rising issue. So it's an issue that is increasing in concern both. We, like Jordan said, we haven't even talked about the college campuses where we've got cases going on all the time. We've just signed up a new professor we're representing. I mean, horrific situation he finds himself in because he's pro-Israel. And the lack of tolerance on the academic institutions, Harry, is palpable. I mean, we haven't even addressed that issue yet. I mean, we're addressing it in our work at the ACLJ.
I think that's correct. So if we take a step back for the moment, we should note that Representative Tlaib and to some extent Representative Omar have fell into traps of their own making. And both of these two individuals are unable to extricate themselves from, in my judgment, their own confusion, in part because they are afraid to acknowledge that their statements represent their true feelings about the nation state of Israel. On the other hand, the House Democratic leadership is paralyzed by the possibility of being called Islamophobic. Apparently, they would rather be called anti-Semitic as they continue to make unforced errors that really defy rational explanation. So that is, I think, the key problem.
But the problem is, I mean, I agree with everything you said, Harry, but the problem here is that she says it and there's no repercussion for this. Some generic, you know, we're opposed to anti-Semitism resolution, but not the leadership of the party, Wes, saying this is wrong.
No, I think for whatever irrational reason, they are held hostage, basically.
Unreal.
By a very extreme and growing left-wing part of the Democrat Party.
Which will never win a general election for presidency
in the
House
of Representatives. And here's the thing I think about, Jay. I think people like these two congresswomen, actually, they talk about the plight of the Palestinian people, and it is heartbreaking. But they hate Israel more than they care for the Palestinians, because if you really cared for the Palestinians, for example, in the Gaza Strip, you would stand with Israel, who wants to solve it and bring humanitarian aid in, and you would take a stance against Hamas, which actually fired the 700 rockets. But they allowed their bias to cloud their professional judgment.
But Andy, something you said earlier I think is important to reiterate here. And that is the Christian minority within Israel, which is protected, including especially not just the right to worship, which is clearly protected, but those holy sites, the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, Golgotha. I mean, I could go through the whole list. The what we would call the New Testament holy sites, the Christian holy sites, would be an unbelievable risk if the Grand Mufti was running Israel.
The Christians better pray earnestly that Israel maintains the sovereignty in the region, because if the Arabs, Muslims, if that community was ever to take over those holy sites, or Israel was to be eviscerated and God forbid, removed as a nation of the earth, there is no Christian site that is sacred that will be left standing in what is now the state of Israel, because it will be obliterated completely by the Muslims.
Now, you heard Rashida Tlaib speak, so you know that when she speaks, I mean, she's got a full grasp. It's not like this is English or second language, okay?
Right.
But her Twitter account looks like if you literally copy and paste it into like Google Translate, something that you would hear from a very radical extreme leader. I don't have to name one for you. There's plenty of them out there. But it's this kind of language, I think, too. This was her response. So this was her chance to respond. and can't ever leave it with just a simple statement. So it's policing my words, twisting and turning them to ignite vile attacks on me will not work. This is the key. All of you who are trying to silence me will fail miserably. I will never allow you to take my words out of context to push your racist, hateful agenda. The truth will always win. Remember when Ilhan Omar said we get our own truths? And now we're saying from her, all of you trying to silence me will fail miserably. I mean, that sounds like Saddam Hussein. It sounds like Omar Baghdadi. And that is what they sound like when they speak from the minaret, when they blast over the minarets. Radical language. If you are one of the two women who is Muslim and you decide to go on magazine covers and promote yourself and do interviews, so you're bringing the attention. You're already a congressman, so every attention is deserved because you work for the U.S. taxpayers and your district. But then you decide to be a standout, if you will, and say, come look at me. Come see me. I'm going to keep talking to you. I'm going to keep running my mouth over and over. And then get upset when people listen and get upset and then threaten people. I mean, you will, those trying to silence me will fail miserably. Where? At what in the United States? I mean, we don't fail by speech, right? If she has the right to say it, don't I get the right to say it? We don't fail miserably. Failing miserably sounds like killing somebody.
Fail miserably it says does. I'm going to silence you.
Yeah. Yes, I'm going to silence you. I'm going to take you out. You will be. Your voice will no longer be heard. There will be no voice for you. I mean, that is what that means.
And no one's trying to silence her. They're criticizing her.
Yeah.
She's confusing freedom of speech with freedom from criticism. She has freedom of speech. She does not have freedom from criticism.
And that's
none of us
who's
do.
Who's working for? Who's helping your crafty statements?
Exactly.
Well, it's got to be these groups.
Okay, so
because her use of language is better.
Why are we not calling on the Democratic leadership? Why don't we have a petition up on that and get Van and the guys and the team in Washington talking to members of Congress and go into the Nancy Pelosi's office and demanding that she get an apology for this? They're not going to do it. But you have the right to petition your government for redress of a grievance. Her district's going to reelect her. Don't kid yourself. Yep. The question for the Democratic Party right now is, are you going to be held captive to this kind of rhetoric? It's anti-Semitism. Anti-Semitism in multiple forms. It's anti-Semitism in the words that are said, in the thoughts that are provoked, in the history that's being rewritten. And I'm going to put up for the last time in this broadcast, when she talks about what her relatives were doing during World War II when welcoming the Jews, it's kind of like, we welcome the men. Really? Here, let me give you the history. There it is. For those of you listening by radio, which is the most of our audience, that is a picture of the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem with Adolf Hitler, who said we have the same enemies, the English, the Americans, the communists, and the Jews. There's the picture. There's the evidence. She's saying the same. It's the same kind of language, the same kind of rhetoric. And here we are in 2019, and we're having to deal with this. And anti-Semitism, when it rears its head, does not bode well for the people, for the Jewish people. But now you do have a state of Israel. And you've got, I think you've got world leaders that understand what's happening. Although you look at what's going on in England right now, and Jeremy Corbyn, leader of the Labour Party. Harry, we only got a minute here, 30 seconds. It's outrageous.
Absolutely. So this is a worldwide phenomena. And at the ACLJ, we need to be eternally vigilant and be prepared to take action to counter these anti-Semitic attacks in the United States and abroad.
All right, that's going to do it for the broadcast today. Stay engaged with us on Facebook and Periscope and Twitter as well. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Again, we're going to fight on this. See what the Democratic leadership has to say. We'll talk to you on the air tomorrow.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.